Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Pleased to be joined live and in person at the Houston Open with Tony Finau. Tony, thanks for taking the time and joining me for a little chat here. How you been?
You're welcome. Yeah, no problem. I've been great. Thanks.
Good, good. Yeah. So we are at the Houston Open. Yeah. Big event this week. There's a small invitational next week in northern Georgia. You are getting set to make your first career Masters appearance.
Yeah.
So let's just start with that. How do you embrace that? How long did it take for that to sink in? Do you have the invitation framed that you got from Augusta, all that stuff?
Yeah, for sure. The invitation is at my house in my memorabilia trophy room, which is where it belongs, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's been a long time coming, but to finally have it happen and to be invited to play in the Masters is a dream come true for me. So it's definitely sunk in. You know, I knew I was in that last year's BMW when I got to the Tour Championship,
right?
And there was an incredible feeling. So it's definitely been able to sink in, and I played a handful of rounds there now, and just look forward to being there on grounds next week. But I mean, obviously, you know, I look forward to this week as well. Don't want to look too far ahead and things, but you know, with the Masters so close, you know, you do kind of get that anxious feeling to be on grounds and be ready for the week.
Well, I was going to ask, you said you made it in by making it to the Tour Championship last year. I remember I was there at Conway Farms. You're not a guy that shows a lot of on-course emotion, and you knew exactly what that meant with the birdie on the last hole to get your way in.
Yeah, I did. And just the way that I did it, I think I was most proud of. Just, you know, I kind of put myself behind the eight ball on Saturday. I finished with a couple bogeys, and I knew I had to do something special on Sunday, and that's usually not a predicament you want to put yourself in, but the fact that I still had an outside chance was intriguing to me. And you know, when I turned in 5 under, I knew that it was real. I had a real opportunity, and so, you know, to shoot a couple on the back and post 64 and around that, you know, all the chips were kind of riding on my season.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had to do it. So the emotion was just strictly that, just the way that I did it. And you know, knowing that a birdie would seal the deal for me on the 18th hole and chipping in and being able to do it was, I think, a kind of career-changing moment for me, and it gave me a lot of confidence. But, you know, I had, you know, really the only thing I was thinking about was Augusta.
Yeah.
And playing in the Masters, and it's been a dream of mine since I started.
Mm-hmm.
And so for it to become a reality is pretty cool.
So you know in mid-September that you're going to play in the Masters about 6 months later.
Yeah.
When did you start the process of planning on-course visits, practice rounds, things like that, knowing that you were...
Yeah, right in the off-season. I went for my first time the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And the weather ended up being perfect. It was right around 60, and I took my dad with me, which was a lot of fun. And we went with a member and a good friend of mine, Dave Layton, from Utah. And it was a great trip. And I knew I wanted to see it 4 or 5 times before the week of. I think, you know, I didn't want to be learning the golf course the week of. You know, I'd definitely be behind the eight ball, but
their guys are making a 20th appearance and they're still trying to learn the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. So trying to do as much work as I could before I got there that week. So I've seen it 5 times now.
Okay.
Played it 5 times now and done some good work. I've had some local caddies help me out with some knowledge about the golf course. I had a good conversation with Ernie Els yesterday, and he gave me his insight on kind of what to expect the week of and different things about each hole. So that was very insightful, and hopefully it will be beneficial for me.
Had you been to Augusta National as a fan before Thanksgiving?
No, I've never. You know, my first time ever on grounds driving up Magnolia Lane was that day before Thanksgiving we went. And it was actually at night, so the first time I seen it during the day was the second time I went, which was just a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, the week after Valspar. I went with my caddy, and driving up Magnolia Lane was quite an incredible feeling.
I can imagine. So having 4 or 5 rounds up there, what's one thing that stands out to you, maybe one thing you didn't expect that didn't translate quite from TV to seeing it live and in person?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think everybody talks about the undulation. So, you know, truly the undulation is definitely there. But I expected it to be, so mm-hmm. I don't know if that really stood out to me as much as I thought it would be. But, you know, number 7 is a dead straight hole. There's not a lot of holes like that at Augusta, you know, and I watch the tournament every year, so I know every single hole. I was surprised how straight seven is, you know. I mean, the hole is like a bowling alley, just dead straight, and that's definitely something that stood out to me. But I watched the tournament so long, and it was just cool to be there in person playing the course, a golf course that I know very well because of how many times I've watched it. But just to know where the tee box is compared to the green, walking and actually seeing it and mapping it out was awesome.
I mean, how strange is that to feel like you know a course without ever having gone to it, and then you finally show up and you see all the shots that you've seen on YouTube and things like that over the years?
It was really strange. Finally walking around that place, it was almost surreal for me my first couple times, and that's why I knew I needed to see it before the week of, because I didn't want to be soaking up that experience during the week. You know, the week of the Masters, I'll be ready to compete, ready to play, and I'll definitely be soaking up the experience. Yeah. It'll be a cool thing for me, and my family. You know, the par 3 contest, I look forward to have my kids out there, have my wife out there, and I'm soaking all that up. But as far as learning the golf course and stuff, you know, the week of, you know, I definitely feel prepared as far as going out there and competing, and we've done some good work on the golf course, so hopefully it serves me well.
How much different is it in this case, knowing that you've had months to plan for this big event, versus you've played in majors before, you've played well in majors before, but I'm thinking back to, you know, 2015 at Chambers Bay, you're in a sectional qualifier 2 weeks before,
and then
you only have 10 days to know that you're going to be in the tournament. So how does preparing for this major differ from some of the ones you've been in before?
Yeah, it's definitely quite a bit different. The good thing is I do have major experience, which is nice. I'm not playing in my first major ever, but I am playing in my first Masters. The Masters just has that the type of golf course that it is a golf course that you have to learn. And so I think preparing for it, most guys just prepare for it differently because of that. It's it's demanding, but it's just a golf course that you have to know. Like, knowledge is key there. So guys prepare for it quite a bit different, and I kind of took that same approach. And just the fact that it's Augusta National, you know, I think the prestige of the golf course, how much history, golf history is there, it's just cool to play it. So to have the opportunity when you're not a member to be there and play, I took that opportunity, you know. They said, well, you can play it 5 times. I said, okay, well, I'll be there 5 times. So just having that opportunity for me more than anything else. You know, again, in the future, we'll see how it pans out. You know, hopefully I qualify for a lot of Masters to come. That's my goal. You know, this is the start of many for me. But, you know, we'll see how it pans out in the future. If I do feel like I need to visit more things, I just know for sure this first time is different because it is Augusta National, because it's the Masters. And I'm playing against guys that have played this golf course a lot, so I needed the experience.
Do you feel like, you know, you've won before in the PGA Tour, you've won in Puerto Rico a couple years back. Do you feel like making the Tour Championship, getting in all four majors, getting in the WGCs this year, was that at all a validation of where you are in your career?
Yeah, I think for sure. It just validates things that I felt like I could accomplish, and just gives me more confidence moving forward and goal setting. You know, goal setting is great if you achieve them, but when you don't, sometimes they can be a little discouraging. So, you know, the fact that I set out last year to be in the Tour Championship and be a top 50 player in the world by the end of the year and was able to do that, you know, those are confidence builders for someone like myself. So, you know, life's just about getting better. And, you know, the comparing thing isn't a great thing when you're comparing yourself to others, but I like to compare myself to myself.
Yeah.
So this time last year, I do feel like I'm better this year. And so I'm excited for the opportunity to play in the Masters, and that's what the journey is all about, just trying to get better as a person and as a player.
I remember talking to your caddy Greg at Riviera, where you finished second a couple weeks back, and he said that you guys were in a situation where you now need to take some events that you have played regularly and take them off the schedule just because you're in the majors, you're in the WGCs.
Yeah.
That's a great problem to have
as a
tour pro, but what's that like trying to shuffle the pieces around and make sure that you're playing the right places, but you're also not going to play 40 times this year?
Yeah, exactly. You know, my goal is to play a little less this year than I did last year, just because I felt like when I got to the playoffs, you know, I was a little bit weary and maybe got a little fatigued, just mentally more than physically, just because of how much golf I had played, you know. And so I learned from that, and this year I'd like to play something around 25 events. So we kind of, you know, got together as our team. And the cool thing is, being in the majors and WGCs, you know, that takes care of almost half the schedule.
Yeah.
So outside of that, you know, you kind of pick and choose the tournaments. I love so many golf tournaments out here, really all of them. And so many of the golf courses I feel like fit me well. But you're always going to have to take weeks off that you don't want to. And I definitely did that this year. Took off a few tournaments that I really enjoy and really like to play. But, you know, a lot of times you have to be mentally prepared every week you play. And so I'm just trying to keep myself fresh and learning from other guys. You know, a lot of guys do the same thing. They'll take, you know, a couple weeks off here and there just to make sure they're fresh mentally and physically, and every week they're ready to compete. And that's something that I had to learn. You know, coming in as a rookie, it's different. Whatever you get in, you just play. You know, that's how I was. It was like, if I was in a tournament, I played. And it's good to progress to this level in my career to where, you know, hey, I got an option to, you know, play what I want to play. And sometimes even, you know, tournaments I do want to play, I have to take off because I have to respect my rest time, my family time. I mean, there's a lot to balance, but scheduling is a tough part of it, but it's a good, like you said, it's a good problem to have.
You talked about having a conversation with Ernie Els on the range here in Houston this week. Are there any other Masters veterans that maybe you're going to try and pick their brain, or have you talked to guys about setting up practice rounds for next week to dip into their memory bank and pull out a couple nuggets that could be useful for you next week?
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to anybody about practice rounds next week. I'm going to play with Mark Leishman in the par 3 contest. You know, we both have kids, and so we're going to have them run around together. And
there you go.
I think he's the one that approached me, and I think, you know, he said, hey, I think it's pretty important if you're going to go to have other guys that have kids, and and so you don't only have your kids running around. So that was nice of him. I respected that about Mark, so that'll be fun. But no, hopefully when I get there, I'd like to set something up. You know, it'd be great to play with Tiger, Phil, Ernie, you know, guys that have the experience, VJ, guys, you know, kind of pick their brain about the golf course. Yeah, now that you tell me that, maybe I'll reach out to BJ and maybe ask him.
Okay, that's the thing about the Masters is that you don't at the U.S. Open, you don't have guys like Ian Woosnam and Sandy Lyle that are just walking around with 30 years of experience under their belt.
Exactly,
it's kind of one of those things.
That's right.
So you're talking about the par 3 contest with Leish. You're on the ninth hole. You've got a 2-shot lead in the par 3 contest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hit your shot, or do you purposely put it in the water to avoid the par 3 champion curse?
Yeah, I'll have my son hit it.
Yeah, that works too.
I have my son hit it, and most likely he's going to make a high number. So,
but you don't want to
understand the whole par 3 curse, and we'll see how it plays out. You know, who knows? Maybe I could be the one to break the curse.
There you go. So. There you go. Anytime you can get some crystal from Augusta National.
That's right. That's a good way to look at it as well.
So you said this is still an important tournament this week at Houston Open. How do you balance, I mean, you've played here before, but you weren't in the Masters, so how do you balance trying to focus on this tournament and the job at hand versus also trying to make sure that your ducks are in a row for next week?
Yeah, for sure. The great thing is you train yourself to be in the present. It's what I try to train myself to do every day, you know, is just try and stay in the here and now. And it's tough. You know, for someone like me, being a first time at Augusta, looking forward to next week. But I felt like I've trained myself long enough to where I can't control anything that happens outside of now. So, you know, the task at hand right now is Houston and the Houston Open. And we play a beautiful golf course. It's a great field. And, you know, hopefully the weather is going to cooperate with us. And it's going to be a great week here in Houston. You know, the great thing about, you know, one of my favorite things about playing professional golf and being on the PGA Tour, I feel like it's a Super Bowl every week. You know, I really do. I feel like every week is important. Every week you have an opportunity to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's going to be no different. You know, and I approach every week that same way, same attitude. You know, to say I'm going to be more motivated next week than I am this week is not true.
Right.
I'm very motivated to play this week. And again, I feel every week is a Super Bowl out here, you know, and that's...
You better be motivated.
That's right, brother.
Ricky Fowler cameo here.
That's right.
Thanks for stopping by. So, in the F department of the locker room here at Golf Club.
This is my roommate, locker roommate. And that's my other locker roommate, Derek Kathauer, there.
We're getting crowded here.
Oh, no, you're good.
We're just finishing up anyway.
Yes.
But, I look forward to the week. Every week is important out here.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, every week is a it could be a life-changing experience for you, and a great opportunity for you to, you know, further your career. So, yeah.
Ricky, what's one Augusta tip for a rookie that you'd like to share?
One Augusta tip.
Make birdies?
Yeah. Step up on the first tee, take a deep breath, hammer it, and then...
I love it.
Let's see, one good thing around there.
Hey, what's on?
And there's all kinds of stuff from obviously staying underneath the hole, sometimes short side is good.
Start taking notes here.
Dang, what are... There's... You could go hole by hole and say what to do, what not to do.
Yeah.
Let's just throw one out there. Don't go long on four. It's not fun.
Oh, there you go. Four, yeah.
There you go.
Thanks.
Oh, don't leave it short on three.
Got a few.
Yeah, don't
hit
the second shot short. Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I think
great.
That is, yeah, Tony's furiously taking notes here, but I think that's a good place to leave it on. I know that you've got some work to do this week, but Tony Finau, thank you much for joining us on this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks, Will.
All right, I'm your host. We will. I'm your host, Will Gray. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can log on to iTunes, Stitcher, golfchannel.com/podcast. Lots of good places to hear these, and we'll see you next time.